This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Okay, what I want to start today is, I said we were going to start on marriage this week. And I want to say something here. If you're here and you're not married, don't say this as, oh, condemnatory. But I want you to say it as, God is going to use you also to minister to married couples. Amen. And I want you to see it also as, begin to see it as the covenant you have between God. The covenant between you and God. Because sometimes it's so easy to just hear about marriage and then forget that there is a covenant between us and God. Amen. So what I'm going to teach today is the start of a series on marriage. The question I want to ask is, what is marriage? Amen. I think even the world today have given the word marriage. The world today has given marriage a new definition. Amen. They've given marriage a new definition. But what is marriage? Let's look at Ephesians 5:31. Because I think that's where we can start from tonight. And see what Paul says about marriage here. Paul says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And then he goes on to 32 and says, "This is a profound mystery." Amen? This is a profound mystery. And then it's like there is a pause. And then he goes on to say, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, I'm not going to go straight into that now. But I just want to show you that this is a definition of marriage. But let's look at what the dictionary definition of marriage is. The dictionary definition of marriage says, the legal union of a man and a woman in order to live together and often to have children. That's the Oxford Reference Dictionary. And I like the word here, often to have children. Which means that marriage in itself is not just to have children. Amen? But let's see what Encarta says. Encarta gives it a different translation completely. And it says, a legally recognized relationship established by a religious group or ceremony between two people who live together as sexual and domestic partners. What does that tell you? Political correctness. But now, let's look at Genesis 24 and Genesis 2. 24 to 25. Genesis 2:24-25. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. What does it mean to leave? leave as a connotation of a shift in priority on the part of the man. A growing up, the taking up of responsibility. Cleave has the connotation of being glued together, which is in passion and permanency. And it's like using a super glue or something, using a super glue on something, and it becomes difficult to unstuck. One flesh, that signifies oneness sexually, child conception, spiritually, emotionally, physically, in intimacy. And here we see the exchange of weaknesses and strength. Then he goes on to talk about nakedness. What does it mean to be naked? He says they were both naked before each other and they were not ashamed. It was talking about a portrayal of transparency. So I will now conclude that marriage, therefore, is between a man and a woman who have left father and mother and are joined together physically, emotionally, and spiritually without any inhibitions. Amen. And I love the saying that God did not create Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. Amen. You see, we are in a time when we have to stand up and be counted when it comes to marriage. Amen. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay? So today, in starting this series on marriage, we have to go back to the beginning. Let's look at Matthew 19, 4 and 5. Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5. Now, when you look at Matthew 19, it starts with a debate, and it was a debate between the Pharisees and Jesus Christ. Amen? Between the Pharisees and Jesus Christ, as they came around to tempt him, or to test him. But Jesus in verses 4. And when you look at the society today, that's what we're going through. Okay? Questions of, is it right? Who is right? Who is wrong? Where is the moral from? But Jesus here was confronting the same issue. And he said in verse 4, haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female. Amen. And said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Marriage, from the beginning, was created by God. It is an institution that God created. In verse 4, if you read, he said, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? So God did not make male and male. He made male and female. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The question here is, for what reason? For the reason of marriage. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, for this reason. For what reason? For the reason of marriage. So they are no longer one, but one flesh. What we see here in Jesus' last statement, therefore, is that what God has joined together, let no man separate. There must be a reason for this, that there shouldn't be a separation. If you look in the Bible, in the book of Romans 8:35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, sword or peril? This word separate connotes a bond that cannot be broken. And that, I believe, suggests a covenant. Because covenants cannot be broken. Amen. Jeremiah 33:20 says, this is what God was saying, if you can break the covenant between night and day, so that there is no day and there is no night, then you can break the covenant that I have made with David. Just as nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, Christ, I believe, was saying here that nothing should separate what God has joined together. It's not that he cannot be separated. You get me? But he was saying nothing. He was saying that what God has joined together, let no man separate. Amen? So tonight, we look at this statement by God to the Israelites. You will then understand the permanence of marriage and what Jesus meant by not separating. And I want us to understand that marriage is a covenant. Unfortunately, most of us have gone into marriage or will be going into marriage not really understanding the concept of covenant. And I'll say that it's a shame that so many people go into marriage not taking their vows seriously. Not knowing that they have made a covenant to one another. And it's always sad when people get married and they do the vows, they say all those vows, and then you ask them later on what they said. And they don't even remember. I remember when my wife and myself were on MMI and we had to look at, we were asked if we remember what we said during our vows. We remembered a little bit, but we had to go back, sit down, and listen to it. If you go back and you listen to the vows you made, you realize how deep they are. But sometimes we just say these things and we say, oh, let's say it. Anyway, we just say it and then the thing, it's over. And if you take note, it probably didn't take you up to a minute to say your vows. Those of us who said our vows, it didn't take us up to a minute. But it is binding. You know why? Because it was said before God. Amen. So the question is, what is a covenant? I'll give Bill Craig's definition of covenant, which I think is quite powerful. Bill Craig wrote the book Covenant and I think Contract. He calls it the definition of covenant. He says, covenant is a unilateral, irrevocable, indissolvable commitment valid at least until death. He says, covenant does not depend upon the performance of either party. Covenant is a unilateral commitment made to another party in the presence of God and is independent of the performance of the other party. So a covenant is therefore not dependent on how you perform. Because if it was how we perform, Christ wouldn't have died for us. Amen. If it was how good we are, Christ wouldn't die for us. Amen. God would not send his son to come and die for us. So a covenant really is you exchanging your weakness for the other person's strength, or their strength for your weakness. Amen. So which means, let's take for instance, Folake and myself. If when I married Folake, Folake had £1,000 debts. I'm not going to say it has nothing to do with me. That's yours. You pay it. You understand what I'm saying? Neither would I have said I have just inherited £2 million and I say to Folake, no, Folake, this is my money. It's not yours. You get what I'm saying? Because in marriage, it now becomes ours. And we, or an I, is no more I. It becomes us. And me becomes what? We. Hallelujah. Amen. So whatever you may have inherited becomes ours. Amen. So it's not dependent on our performance. I know sometimes it scares people when they hear me say that you shouldn't break the covenant. But it is the truth. However, I do not want anyone here to feel guilty or condemned. If it has happened, it has, and there's nothing one can do about it, but for us to just move on in the grace, love, and the mercy of God. Amen. You see, sometimes there are things that happen to us that we do not have control over. But let's not feel condemned. Let's just move on in God. Amen. But when you look at the world today, what the world talks about today is contract. For some people, marriage is fashionable. Especially if you look at Hollywood today. They think marriage is like chewing gum. You chew it, it loses its taste, you throw it out, and you look for another one. But that's not marriage. Marriage is a covenant of permanency. Amen. What is contract? Bill Craig also writes. He says, a contract is a bilateral agreement between two parties, totally dependent upon performance. You didn't treat me well. So it's more or less like, I marry you if you remain beautiful. If you begin to lose your beauty, I'll leave you. And if I brought anything into the marriage, I take everything I brought in, and you have nothing. Unfortunately, McCartney did not write that in his contract. So contract here, it says, performance of an agreement under a contract. If one person fails to fulfill their end of the bargain, the contract is off. And normally with contract, there is always a penalty for breaking the contract. Am I wrong? So let's look at covenant now, because covenant has two components. Covenant has two components, and the first component is promise. And the second component is a term. So if I say, I, Roland Henshaw, I take you, Folake, as my lawful wedded wife. Tell me if this is a promise. To love, is that a promise? To cherish, is that a promise? To honor, is that a promise? To obey, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. Are those promises? Yes. Now look at the term, until death us do part, or until Jesus returns. But you know, it's so unfortunate that we don't remember those things when things are going wrong. We fail to realize that we have made a promise, and that promise has a term. Do you know that when we mess up, God doesn't say, I don't love you anymore. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And that's why I quoted that scripture in Romans 8:35 that says, nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. Not the sword, not the peril, not persecution, nothing. It's the same thing with marriage. And that's why in Ephesians, when Paul was saying that marriage is a mystery, he also went one step further to say, I am talking about the church and Christ. Amen. The most amazing thing about covenant in biblical times was that you could not revoke it. And if a person was caught in adultery, they were killed. So when you look back to a time of people like Stanley, when he went to Africa, he had to cut a covenant. And if you look back, when some of us were young, we used to cut a covenant of blood and then, you know, prick your finger and then rub blood and then you say you're blood brothers. That was a covenant. And some people do it and they do not realize what they're getting themselves into. And that's why it's so essential that before you get married, you need to be sure that you have heard from God. Amen. And that you're going into marriage with your eyes wide open. You see, love is not blind. But do you know what's blind? The two people involved. Amen. When we look in the Bible, we can see God's covenant with man. And a good example is the one he had with Abraham. Amen. God cut a covenant with Abraham. We look at David. God cut a covenant with David. God cut a covenant even with man in the area of the flood. And he said, when you see the rainbow, it's the sign of my love for you. And I'll never destroy the earth with a flood anymore. Amen. And so we look at that Jeremiah 33:20. That the covenant God made with David cannot be broken. Just as that covenant cannot be broken, we also cannot break the covenant we have made to one another. Amen. It is deep and it is powerful. But when you sit down today and you look at it, you have so many people talking about breaking the covenant. All days he messed up. And so, you know what? When they went to Jesus, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, in the beginning it was not so. Then they talked about Moses give a certificate of divorce. And Jesus said, the only reason why Moses gave you that said to you to give that certificate was because of the hardness of your heart. And where you see we all have so many divorces out there, even in the church today, all comes down to hardness of heart. But the good news is that we can sort this out. And that's why this teaching. So what you're receiving today is more of an intro into the other things we're going to look at. So that if anyone is having problems in their marriage, we can look at it from the Word of God and see how God can deal with it. Amen. Do you realize that there is nothing impossible with God? And that's why sometimes when I hear people give testimonies of how God miraculously turned their marriage around, it blesses me. Amen. Do you think sometimes I don't get upset with my wife? Yes, I do. Do you think my wife doesn't get upset with me? Yes, I can see someone shaking their head. Yes, she does. You know why? Because I'm human. But you see, my wife is not my enemy. Amen. I am not my wife's enemy. My children are not my enemy. But you see, we have one person who is the enemy of what God is doing in our lives. And his name is Satan. Because he's never liked us to do anything to please God. So he's always wanting to step in. And I want to say to you today that I believe you're here listening to this message. There might be some of you here that God will be using you to speak into the lives of other people who are having marital problems. Because they will come to you. And I think I'm being prophetic here that some people will come to you and they will say to you, this is the problem I'm having in my marriage. What is your solution? Let me be truthful. You do not have a solution. Amen. The fact remains that if two people have made up their minds that they don't want to go together, there's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is to go on your knees and begin to pray for them. Because the answer to marital problem lies in this book. In the beginning, it was not so. He who created them, male and female, made them one. You understand? And I believe tonight this is just a precursor of what we will be teaching. And the next lesson, Falaka will be standing here with me so we can teach together. I know she said to me, oh, I don't want to do it. But I want us to teach this together because I enjoy. This is one time I always enjoy teaching together with my wife, because then I'm calmer. And but praise the Lord. I believe this has blessed you, because it might look as though we've started with the area that is quite hard, but you need it, because that is what God is saying. He's saying, those have joined together, let no man put asunder. You will get people say to you, even Christians say to you, oh, if what about if the person is beating you and they're almost killing you? I'll say, listen, if you think they're going to, if you think there's violence, I'm not saying stay in the house, but it does not mean that that's the end of the marriage. Amen. Because I've heard stories of people when they will come back from church and their husbands will kick them, beat them, put them outside, and they will sleep outside. In the morning, they will knock on the door, open the door, and go in and say, darling, what do you want for breakfast? I know it's hard, but they were believing God that something will come out of it. The guys who wrote Married for Life, the man was caught in adultery with the woman's best friend. And she was at that time pregnant with their last child. I met the boy. We did some video work together. But the Lord said to the woman, said, don't. Don't. Is there anything difficult for me? For what I have joined together, let no man put asunder. It doesn't really matter what you're going through in your marriage. God can turn it around. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. We just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all adoration. And we just pray that if there are people in the Word of Life Church that are going through marital problems, Father, we pray that you stretch forth your hands, O God, and you'll touch and heal in the name of Jesus. Because you're the God who heals marriages. You're the God who brings hearts together again. Father, we just pray, come and do it in the Word of Life Church. If there are those who have gone through it, O God, and this message, O God, is challenging their lives, Father, I pray that you bring peace. You wrap your hands around them for them to know that you love them so much. Father God, we bless you and we give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.